You know, we all know the scripture, you know, and you know, one of the hard sayings of the Lord, he says, hey, here's my flesh taken, eaten. Here's my blood drank. And everybody's freaking out like you know, he's talking cannibalism. He's talking covenant, really. Just in the scripture, you could tell the tension. He turns to the ones that are supposed to be intimate with him. You know, the 12. And so, what are you going to do? And I love Peter's response. Lord, where can I go? You have the words of eternal life. Guys, I don't have anywhere else to go.
Right.
None of us have anywhere else to go. We've been thoroughly ruined.
So true.
To be good sinners.
So true.
You know, navigate the waters of the world. We can't. It doesn't work. I have nowhere else to go.
True.
So I'm going to go after him with everything in me, man. And I expect his inheritance for every one of them. And I'll fight for all of us. Because it is time to experience the inheritance of the one who has the words of eternal life. Because I just, Lord, we just right now, we just by faith, we know, I don't care what's going on in this world. You're good. And you are loving and you are kind and you are beautiful. We proclaim your beauty. And we know that your beauty so influences us that it makes us beautiful. But Lord, I'm not going to stop. I call it out.
Amen.
In the name of Yeshua.
Yes. Hallelujah.
But what I wanted to bring to the table was this morning, just for the Lord, and I haven't done this probably for a long time. I just turned on worship, and it's me and the Lord. You know, we're praying all the time together and stuff. There's a lot of together thing going on. Cause I'm really big in body and together things. It was just so peaceful and so quiet and so sweet. And the Lord brings me to Matthew 16. So I'm really, really, I want to get what this kingdom thing is in reality. I want to, how is this thing? What is this thing we call the ecclesia of the church? You know, and how does the kingdom work in all these dynamics? And I want to really have understanding and we inquire of the Lord for these things. So I began to write and write and write and write and write and study and study. So probably about 4 hours later, on two verses. So what I want to flesh out here is a little context. He just got done talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious authorities of the day, asking him for a sign. And long story short, says, I'm not going to give you a sign except for that which was of Jonas, or Jonah. And then he asks his disciples a question. He says, hey, who do people say that I am? And they're going around, you know, who, you know, you're, you know, Elijah and, you know, whatever, and all the different, and then I love this. And here's the strong revelation. And here's old Peter piping up. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Heavenly Father has revealed this. And what I wanted to key in on is what He said after this revelation. Verse 18. That thou art Peter. He proclaimed from Simon, the reed,
rock.
To really it's Petros, the rock. And he said, upon this rock, which is Petra. So Peter, Petros, the rock, Petra, means big boulder, even like a cliff. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And this is huge, guys. This is the only place I know where he says this stuff. So something's very significant about this. It's big in my heart. The keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so I just started chewing on those two verses about 4 hours this morning. Mm-hmm. And like, Lord, what in the world are you saying here? What are you really saying? Because he talked about the church. There's so many things going on right now that we need to define terms, if you know what I'm saying. This thing we see, because whatever's happening today, guys, that we call church, is not what he's talking about right here.
Exactly.
So whatever he's saying here is not what I'm witnessing at large. Anybody agree with that?
Absolutely.
So it behooves us to get back to what he defines us as. And through all of my study, this is what I wrote, Stephen. You might really get excited about this as a theologian, brother.
You hit some theology, brother. I can't
believe it. I'm popping some theology. I mean, I actually have some juice in me on the theology.
Theological bone in your Bible. I'm amazed.
Look at this.
Jesus reigns.
He, from my own words and study here, the deeper meaning of this passage can be said this way. Upon this revelation of who I am as the anointed one, Messiah, I will build up, edify, and encourage my own assembly, congregation, a people called out from the world to God, and the gates of hell, the unseen world, the realm in which death resides, shall be locked up, shall not prevail against, overpower, or get the upper hand on the called out assembly. We could pause there for a minute. Wow. He's saying something more than the brick and mortar deal that we see today.
Absolutely.
He's saying more than this politically correct, you know, organization of the states. Like, Father, you're saying something to whoever this group is that I've raised my hand and signed me up for that one. Amen. Then he continues. And I will give you the keys, which is my power and authority of the kingdom, my kingship, sovereignty, rule, both in the world and in the hearts of men. And whatsoever I bind, tie, fasten, compel, and declare to be prohibited and unlawful through you, on the soil, land, region, country, inhabitants of a region shall come to pass in the visible and spiritual heavens. And whatsoever I loose, untie, release, break, destroy, set at naught and annul through you shall come to pass in the visible and spiritual heavenly realm. That's some juice right there, guys. This is kind of going beyond the amplified, I believe. But what I got out of this was like the keys, which is authority to bind and to loose. Mm-hmm. We need to start appropriating these things because this is the only place I know. And it came on the heels of the revelation of who he is. And something that I want to address here, there is a marriage of the revelation of his beauty, who he is, with appropriating the authority to accomplish and to walk out his design here. And I love what it says here. I mean, when it talks about the world, it really means the soil, land, region, country, and inhabitants of a region. So all of the binding and loosing, he gives us that authority. Not only in the natural, but also in the spiritual. And I love this as well. It talks about not only about things that we're dealing with in circumstances, but also in the hearts of men. And so I just wanted to read that over to you guys because it really blessed me, this tie-in. Because the ecclesia, okay, this thing we call the church, it's not the standalone deal. It is a body of believers that operate and function in a thing we call the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom is always about the king. And he says, when this body, this assembly, these people called out for my purposes, when they're functioning as ambassadors of my kingdom, I've given you some equipment, Jeff. I've given you some keys. And we all know this. We've heard this passage probably 1,001 times. But I felt the first time probably in 30 years, I've never done this much of an in-depth study on that specific passage. But what's interesting about this is 3 verses later, Stephen, you'll know this. Here's the man of God who got the revelation, rebuking the Lord because he brought something into the equation. He brought in suffering. This stuff will be tested. This stuff will be tried. It will be proven. And here's what's interesting. The Lord rebuked his rebuke. I love it.
That's right. Yeah.
And he said some things that really struck me. He said, "You are not mindful of the things of God. You are mindful of the things of men."
That's right.
And I'm telling you, guys, we got to get this Holy Ghost alignment, this soulical motivation. I want to be on the throne of my life. It has to be dealt with. And the Lord, and what tries that thing is when suffering comes into the equation, our knee-jerk reaction is going to be, when we're saying, "No, I want to be on the throne of my life." It'll be, "No! Far be from you, Lord." He says, "You do not know what you're speaking of." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, that was the adversary. That's what Satan. He was adversarial to the Lord when the Lord talked about the cross. And then he began to go somewhere, and he began to flesh this out. I love this about the Lord. And if you keep on reading down verse 16 there, it goes into, he fleshes out what discipleship is. Because I believe we cannot divorce the trial of our faith, being poked and prodded and tried and tested and proven. We cannot divorce that from discipleship. It's part of the equation, guys. And I'm really, really being dealt with by the Lord on these things. And he goes into anyone who comes after me must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. And he fleshes it out further. And I guess what I'm sensing, guys, there's like zero wiggle room for a disciple of Christ in this passage of what is required of us. And then he says, "He who seeks to save his life will lose it." So when our motivation is about self-preservation, it's everything we talked about and prayed about also, Steve, you know, these things. We're trying to put all these buffers around us. We're not having to experience pain when the Lord may be actually provoking the pain because he wants to get after something in us. Instead of embracing and welcoming it, we're trying to buffer ourselves. And so all this energy is being used to try to buffer ourselves. And the Lord says, "You're seeking to save your life. That is not discipleship." But it says, "He who loses his life for my sake." And I love this, what Mark says. And Mark says, "And the Gospels." See, I'll say it to you this way. The Gospel is less about a message and more about a God-man. The Gospel is a God-man. Can I say that to you guys? The Gospel is the God-man. And I just really, because I'm tying these things into what discipleship is, and because what it is it, what I titled this was the authority of the disciple of Christ. Because here's this whole string of what's going on, and of the revelation of who he is as the anointed, That whole discourse of what he talked about as far as what the ecclesia is and the gates of hell not prevail against what the authentic ecclesia is. And then he gave us keys. But then he goes into the thing of, he brings in, he weaves in now suffering. And he defines what discipleship is. Because I believe he must deal with these things that are trying to be standoffish, or trying to, you know, trying to preserve and reserve, really, that Adamic nature. The Lord just wants to crucify. It's, you know, that bottom drawer living, Steve, that we talk about, you know. He is so invested. He is so committed to the eternal purpose of God, which is he wants to see Christ formed in us. And may we not wiggle. May we not squirm. But we know that he's good. We know that he's beautiful. We know that he is kind. We know that he is loving. And we must have revelation of that as we are walking out this journey. And this is really something I've been grappling with and just chewing on and really crying over these things, weeping over these things for the Lord. Because we must have this proper balance of the goodness and the severity of the Lord. Because these are not times that we're just tap dancing around. We have to have a conditioning. We need to have an internal understanding, an internal reality that is the nature of Christ shining through us. And so I'm committed to this, guys. I'm committed to walk this out. And I don't care how many times we bump our head going after this pure, authentic, 100% all in, all for Christ. We will, you know, it's the reality of Galatians 2:20 that I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. That this, the reality, taking that from the realms of theology to reality and lifestyle. I'm committing to it. I'm committing to it. Are you guys committing to that? I mean, because that's what the Lord wants. He wants his Son. He wants his Son. He wants his Son to shine through us. He wants his Son to shine through us. So we are appropriating the keys of the kingdom. Because here's what's going on, guys. When we talked about it, we've got a brother right now kind of going through some things. We have the authority. We have the power. So I'm like, Lord, what is the disconnect? What is the misappropriation? What is going on that you've given us everything we need? We have keys to bind and to loose. But there's millions and millions of tormented people. And again, it's not, I believe we need to receive the burden of the Lord. And not in condemnation, not like we're all lesser than, but there is, I believe, there is more that we can be intentional about in the Lord. I believe there is. So I just want to bring that to the table that I'm committed to just going after wholeheartedly. He says clearly, he says, hey, it's impossible to please God without faith. I mean, faith is... I'm going to trust you.
Faith, believing, right. Trust and believe that he's who he is, who he says he is.
How can you move in God without trust? It's like, okay, okay, you can go ahead and have an awesome Maserati. No fuel in the tank. I don't care how polished that thing. It ain't going nowhere. I mean, it's like the Lord is moved by us saying, Daddy, I trust you.
He's waiting on you to move.
He's saying, I trust you. Trust him that we are who he says we are. We could do what he says we could do. That's really what it is. I really believe that.
Well,
I feel like I'm disqualified. Well, just go do it.
It's not about you.
It's not about you.
Of course you're disqualified. Yeah.
In the flesh, we're jacked.
That's right.
In the spirit, we're conquerors and champions.
Exactly right.
More than conquerors, he says.
Right.
But look at this whole deal here. I want to read this again about keys. And I will give you the keys, which is my power and authority of the kingdom, my kingship, sovereignty, rule. And look at this again. I broke this down as far as what the depths of the Greek, what this means. It's very, it's like, wow, it's way more significant than we think. And look what it says here. It talks about both in the world, no, his rule, his sovereignty, his kingship, both in the world and in the hearts of men. I mean, he has given us keys, his authority, to speak a word to unlock people. He really has. So it just opened my eyes more to speak with that authority. He's given it to us. To a storm. To a political system. I'm saying something needs to get lined up. And I aim to get after it, is all I'm saying. And guys, you have not seen me get aggressive yet. You've not seen me aggressive yet. I'm getting aggressive. I am not going to be denied, Danny. Just burn it up or whatever. I'm going after it, man. And so here's the exhortation. Let's do it together. Whatever we've been, even for years, things we've been going after. I sense it so strongly, men of God. The Lord is simply saying, be not denied. I mean, just this kind of an aggressive, hey man, I've been waiting 25 years for that, Lord. I think He's really stirring us up, like, that's like just this roar. It's like, what? I mean, I kind of get the picture of here's David, the little dude, and all the warriors. He comes and gives him some bread and crackers, right, and some cheese and stuff. He's like, this good old, this dude over here mocking him. The ruddy-faced kid. What's this dude doing mocking Yahweh? I just get this picture of just like, what rose up in him, Steve? I just like, he didn't look at his natural stature, obviously. Didn't look at his inferior weaponry. He saw Yahweh, man. Something happened to him. And I'm like, but I feel the Holy Ghost on this, man. I'm telling you, I feel the surging of God. He just wants to say, what? You uncircumcised Philistine! You come to me with javelin and sword, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh. Ta! I'm telling you, man, it's like, off with your head! Every mountain, every giant sending against our way. And I think the Lord's just waiting for that. Like, hey, I am who He says I am. And I can do what He says I can do. I'm done now. Go ahead, Steve. So hopefully you dovetail that, Steve.
Yeah, dovetailing is the deep part. Not turning in an all-day seminar is the hard part.
But I think you guys should feel my spirit though, yeah, on this.
Let me just give one PS to what he shared and get to the thing that I want to lead us into prayer. Interesting that on the tails of all that talk about keys and authority and everything, the Lord talks about the cross. For me, part of the key, you know, Jeff used the phrase, okay, what's missing? What's firing? What's the pin? You know, all these things being true. All this being true, we see XYZ, and XYZ don't look anything like this being true. Part of spiritual authority for me is being able to stand in the shame of Calvary and not be moved. And not feel like I need to produce something else or that I'm missing something. And we can't be passive about it. We have to rise up with that same Davidic spirit that I am being defrauded of something that is rightfully mine. But it's not like rah, 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 let's do spiritual warfare, see everybody's melt. We've all done that routine. But it does mean that, and I like to put it this way, that I strap myself to the main mast in the storm and I stared.
I just don't move.
And if I have to stand in the shame of Calvary, that thing that looks like it's a failure,
it's really our victory.
It's our victory. And I don't got anything to bring to the table right now. But I can strap myself in the main mast, and I can face it, and I can curse it. And I just encourage you that something would arise in you of the same spirit, even in your brokenness, even in your weakness, that you just find a place where it looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't understand it. I can recriminate myself about it. It's so disorienting. I don't know north from south, up from down. I'm just trying to not hate myself, hate God, hate my wife. Just strap yourself in the main mast. That's it. That is authority. And something in your heart comes out and says, I will go to my grave if I have to, cursing this storm. Because I believe everything Jeff said today. But the downside of it is that we get kind of a mechanistic mindset that if we just kind of turn the right knobs...
You can't disconnect suffering from this equation.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very, very key point what you said. But it feels like, what's the use? You know, it's like, what's the use? I've done everything I know how to do. And nothing changes. So the victory, the faith victory is, in my opinion, an appropriate attitude to the very thing he finished with, of spiritual defiance. I defy you. Yeah, but I'm the hurricane. I defy every gusty wind. I defy every raindrop. I defy it. I defy it when I go to bed. I defy it when I get up in the morning. And nothing changes. I defy it. We're all have different personalities. So it's not necessarily being outwardly aggressive, you know, just that way. It's about spiritual aggression. And I just want to believe that for you, in the sense of what might the Lord be asking from you in this season is simply that. So it's not like we're chickens going through the crumbs of the kingdom trying to find the magic seed that is going to make my problem all better. We're called for something better than that. Just orient yourself into the headwind and defy it while you have breath in your body. Mm-hmm.